Let's just give some more of that. Let's just say it in English. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How about in Spanish? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How about Hebrew? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What does it mean? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. There is no word of higher praise. And so we rejoice in being able to come into the Lord's house with the Lord's people and give him a word. That offering the sacrifice of thanksgiving by saying, praise the Lord.
Amen.
He is worthy of praise. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to jump right into the scriptures. Revelation chapter 18. Revelation 18. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. And has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. I need to look at this passage of scripture and tell you, we don't know exactly who, as a people group, that Babylon will be. Because this is a country, this was a kingdom that has already been destroyed. This kingdom was destroyed many years ago. But you need to understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places, against governing authorities in the angelic, good and bad realm. And so demons don't die. Y'all got that? And though that kingdom of Babylon past has been destroyed, and yet those spiritual entities still remain and still continue at work. And so we look at Revelation chapter 18, we say, well, who is this? Who's it going to be? There's so much speculation that goes into the book of Revelation, and I'm not asking you to do that this morning. I'm asking you to recognize that there are spiritual forces that have been, are now, and will continue to be at work. Spiritual entity. And so as we look at this passage of scripture, we also recognize that this, the whore of Babylon, has an end coming. You notice that it talks about the seduction and the seduction sexually and of riches and wealth and all of that stuff that seduces people to come under this spiritual influence of this demonic spirit. You say, you just come right out of the gate with that stuff, didn't you, Pastor? You just come right out to start preaching about this crazy demonic realm. Well, let me tell you something. Just because you don't see it don't mean it ain't there. And it is very real. I want you to notice that I stopped on verse 4. We're going to pick back up. But what does it say? People of God, come out from her. Let's look at verse 4 again. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, lest you receive of her plagues. I had a dream slash vision a couple years ago in which this happens occasionally. You're kind of halfway in and halfway out. And I remember this pastor being wrapped up in an affectionate hug with a woman. And that hug turns into a stranglehold. And I recognize this is not a woman, this is a demonic. And this stranglehold begins choking the life out of him. And I woke up and the word that came into my mind as I'm kind of in between was the whore of Babylon. And that this spirit is alive and well and working today. And even some pastors, some churches are under her influence. Under the influence of this spirit. And here's what I've come to the conclusion. You will either compromise or you will combat. You will either go along with or you will go against this spirit. So verse 5 says, for her sins have reached to heaven and God has remembered her iniquities, rendered to her just as she has rendered to you. What is it saying? There is a conflict between kingdoms. And I reluctant to call the dominion of darkness a kingdom because Satan ain't no king. Y'all got me? But there's this conflict between light and darkness. There is no neutral. There's no middle ground. And you're either on one side or the other. And so what we see here is that those who are under this influence begin to persecute the saints. We are in a time in which that is on the rise. When you see darkness on the rise, you don't just despair because darkness is on the rise, because here's what also happened. The kingdom of heaven is on the move. Amen? The kingdom of heaven is on the move. And so here's what this angel says. Render to her just as she has rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works and the cup in which she has mixed double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. Now that is a reference to Isaiah 47:8. In Isaiah 47:8, we're speaking of the old Babylon, that kingdom that has now fallen. Boy, there's so much I'd like to bring in this message today, but I just can't bring it all. But I will point out that in Daniel chapter 2, there's a prophecy of all of this. In this prophecy, the king of Babylon past has a dream. And he has this dream, and he calls in all those that can interpret dreams. Nobody can, and yet Daniel was able to interpret the dream. And Daniel says, I know what you dreamed. I know the interpretation of it. He said, well, all right, go ahead. He said, you dreamed of this giant statue with a head of gold, arms and chest of silver, torso of bronze, legs of iron, and feet of iron and clay. This comes up so many times in my preaching because there's so much loaded into Daniel chapter 2. Daniel says, here's the interpretation. That golden head is you, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. The silver chest and arms are the Medes and the Persians. They will become the second world power. One world government, the very first one ever was Babylon. Number two, Persia. And then number three, Alexander the Great would lead Greece to become that. They would defeat the Medes and the Persians. And then you have Rome, the legs of iron. And the Roman government was divided up amongst 10. And that would be the 10 toes of iron and clay. When I have someone who doesn't believe that the Bible is true and that God is real, I take them to the book of Daniel. And I say, here's prophecy that God said these things would happen. Now you go study your world history and I'll tell you, they happened. They happened. And prophecy proves that the God that wrote this word is real and that this word is trustworthy. Amen? Prophecy proves it. And so in that vision is this statue of the governments of the world, the one world governments. And then in that vision, you see this rock come flying from the side, a rock not carved with human hands. And that rock hits that statue in the feet, in the legs and feet. And then that rock, now you got to understand, prophetic visions, they're weird, all right? They're strange. You got to interpret this stuff, and the scripture does it for us, okay? And so that rock then becomes not just a rock, but a mountain, and a mountain that covers the earth. When you see mountains in the scripture, what they are references to are kingdoms. And so you have these one world governments. You had a series of them. But then this rock not carved with human hands, his name is Jesus. Amen? And Rome was the last one world government. And I believe their destruction was because they took part in crucifying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Roman government no longer exists. Amen. And then that rock becomes a mountain. What do we call that mountain? We call it the kingdom of heaven. And those who are children of God are a part of that kingdom. What has to happen before I become a child of God? There has to be a transformation. When I recognize that I am a sinner going after my own ways and my own selfishness and my own desires, and realizing that Jesus Christ died for my sins, then I turn to him and accept his gift of salvation. And then there's a transformation that takes place in my heart. The Bible says he takes that heart of stone out of my chest and gives me a heart of flesh, and I become a new man. Amen? And then it is my job to renew my mind. And how do I renew my mind? With the Word of God. in this word. There's so much here. I'm just trying to touch on some of the high points today. This spirit is coming to an end. Now, I don't know in who, in what entities that spirit is operating today, but what we see in this passage of scripture, it is it had worldwide influence and caused those kings that it seduced into its, to following it. Much wealth, a lot of wealth came through this spirit. Let's look at verse 11, chapter 18, verse 11. All the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys her merchandise anymore. And then it goes into the merchandise. And you look at this, it's like, man, what in the world is this talking about? Well, I don't know on the physical sense, but I do know on the spiritual sense that there are spiritual entities that seduce and draw people in. And when you get into some of this stuff, it becomes delusional. And what is going on in our world today, I have no other explanation for other than delusional. Delusional. What in the world is happening? In a world in which a 50-year-old man is identifying as a teenage girl on a swim team, and the police had to call and make sure that it happened, that that man could dress in a locker room with 8 to 16-year-old teenage girls. And what dad worth his salt wouldn't come in and slang some furniture? You know what I'm talking about? And maybe some fists. And the cops come and protect this delusional guy. There's a 55-year-old man who identifies, he left his wife and children, because now he identifies as a 6-year-old little girl. And there's a picture of this dude sitting there with a rattler and a bib. Make you want to vomit. You say, well, that stuff's going on in Canada. That stuff, it won't happen in America. Oh, it's happening in America. There's a woman sitting in a penitentiary in Indiana that the Indiana authorities has said, we will use taxpayer dollars for her sex change. This woman strangled an 11-month-old baby. And I will point out that Kamala Harris says that she will use, if elected as president, she will use executive order to make that a nationwide law. And I also point out that in, where is it, Wisconsin? Where the guy who's trying to become our vice president, he push to make that state a state in which if you as a parent are against your child's sex change, the state comes in and takes over and has the authority over your child. You have no say in it. You push hard enough, you'll go to jail. And that child will have sex change. I lose my mind. By the way, if you don't know, Elon Musk is now in Texas because this happened to him and his child in California. He said, we moving to Texas. That's a good move, Elon. It's a good move. Man, I'd go Stargrave crazy. But what's happened is there's got to be delusions here. This don't make any sense. This don't make any sense. Well, that's exactly what's going on. And by the way, there's nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. I mentioned the last world government, one world government was Rome. There was a Roman emperor named Nero. Nero had his mother killed. She was his mother and sometimes lover. He had her killed. I can't remember. There was numerous ways. One is going to have a building fall on her, and there was a strangulation or drowning. I don't remember how. He got it done. And then he married another gal. I can't remember all the details. I just remember very vaguely the last one. He had that wife killed, and then he had his second wife who he really loved. I think he had her killed, but he really loved her. And, I mean, that nothing says love like I kill you. But this lunatic then finds this young man that looks similar to his second wife, had him castrated, dressed up as a woman, and paraded a wedding right there in front of Rome. This is the very same Roman emperor who would take Christians, put them on poles, hang them in his garden, cover them with pitch, and light them on fire in order to illuminate his garden. I want you to see the two go hand in hand. The persecution of Christians and the delusions of the dark minds of this world happened at the same time. When the dominion of darkness is on the rise, the kingdom of heaven is on the move, though. Don't get in despair. Don't get in despair. When you look at this passage of scripture, the question is, how does all this go down? By the way, you know this is at the end of the book, right? That's at the end of the book. And so when we're reading this, it is showing how all things pan out in the end. Chapter 18, verse 19, they threw dust on their heads. These would be those who were in the world and followed that seduction. They threw dust on their heads and cried, "Our weeping and wailing," and saying, "Alas, alas, the great city in which we all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she was made desolate." And look what the kingdom of heaven says. "Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her." And then it goes on to describe the finality of Babylon. I just want to drop down to verse 23. "The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore, and the voice of a bridegroom and a bride shall not be heard in you anymore, for your merchants were the great men of the earth. For by your sorcery, all the nations were deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all who were slain on the street." Why is it that a Christian is the only person it's okay to hate nowadays? Because this is a spirit that is operating and working. And when one domain begins to dominate, the other domain comes in combat. Just know what's happening. Just know it's real. And it's nothing new. You just ain't never seen anything like it before. And I don't think the world has seen anything like this before, in which we don't even, you can identify as an animal. One of our local schools has a litter box in the bathroom for a child who identifies as a cat. Why are we bowing to this garbage and not saying, "I'm sorry, we don't allow pets at school"? Can't come here. But that's the delusions. That's the delusion. We call it gender dysphoria. We've given it new names. How did it take root, and how did it happen so fast? I'll tell you how it happened. We had a pandemic called COVID, in which we told kids, "You can't go to school anymore. You can't be social anymore. You got to stay in your house." And what did they have? Complete and total access to the internet. And if you have a parent that doesn't have enough smarts to have some kind of safeguards on that computer, these children were talking to people that were influencing them towards delusions. Delusions. When you give someone access to all that stuff in the most influential time of their life. There was a priest that said years ago, "You give me a child until he's 7 years old, I'll have him the rest of his life." It's the most influential time of their life. You can't go and buy a can of snuff without being 21 years old, but you can have a sex change without your parents' approval. I used to buy snuff at 13 years old. I was shocked a couple years ago when they said, "No, you got to be 21. I was like, "What?" But in some states, if your parents say, "My child's only 7, we're not doing that," the state comes and says, "Oh, yes, you are." And now we have a push to make it nationwide. What is going on? It's delusional. I'm going to tell you something, Christian. You know why we are here? Because Christians have not been standing for the standard. That's why. I get asked, "What do you believe about homosexual marriage?" Hey, listen. It doesn't matter what I believe. What do you mean it don't matter what you believe? I'm not the standard. What does this scripture tell us about marriage and the family and gender? It's all in here. It's very clear. Just take this word of God. You say, "Well, I don't understand it." Well, let me just give you a little help with that. It's a spiritual book, and you need to be spiritually transformed, and you'll understand it quite clearly. You need to be born again. You need to be saved. And so we're in a time in which we say, what is going on? Well, I'm going to tell you, in the end, there's going to be one people group left standing. There's going to be one people group left standing. Chapter 19, and after these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah. Did y'all see that? You can put H on it if you want to. It ain't got H right here. Salvation and glory and honor. We just sang it. And power belong to the Lord our God. Amen. For true and righteous are his judgments. You know what's happening in our world today? It's not really new. We've seen it in the book of Judges. And in the book of Judges, it says, and there was no king in those days, so everyone did what was right in their own heart. What does that mean? When there's no standards, you just do what feels good. I also want to point out, this is the most controversial thing I think I'll say today. Probably not, maybe not. If I ain't offended you already, you're in good. You hang in there. But there are kingdoms and people groups in the scriptures that are no more. Because you just read this Bible. Because these people groups went past the point of repair. And God had to say, there's no hope with them. We have to start over. Now, why I said this is controversial, there's a word called genocide, and I hate genocide. There's been genocides in your lifetime in Africa. And it's horrific, horrible stuff, and I'm not talking about that. But there are, if you don't believe what I'm talking about, even if you don't know the scriptures, you may know some of these kingdoms, cities. You know of Sodom? You know of Gomorrah? Tyre, Sidon, the Moabites, the Ammonites, these were people groups. And God says, there's no hope for fixing that structure of a government. And so those, and again, I'm not talking about genocide. I didn't say that God just went out and just wiped out all those people groups. He dismantled their governments because the governing structures of those people groups was beyond repair. And so even his own people group, the Jews, he dismantled their government. Jerusalem was ransacked by guess who? Babylon. And when his people group were, the government structure was dismantled and the people scattered, then they began seeking the Lord again. And out of his love, he has taken down governments before. And I want to have our nation so solid on the word of God that he has no need to take down this one. Amen. Amen. Because here's the deal. The more influential a people are, the more strict is the standard. That's from a loving God. I was there in Africa several years ago and walking through a kind of a jungle area, and there's this little shack with tarps all around, just the black vinyl, and you can hear something playing in there. I said, what's going on in there? These people are entrepreneurs, and they have made themselves a movie theater. And I've seen all kinds of stuff over in Africa. They made themselves a way for income. And they had that little thing filled up with people who were watching this movie. You want to know where that movie came from? America. There is no country on the planet as influential as this great nation that we live in. And that can be good. It can also be bad. There's no country on the planet that has been more gracious and loving and generous than the United States of America. Praise God. There's no country on the planet that has sent out more missionaries than the United States of America. Can you see why this delusional spirit wants us? wants to take this nation and influence its government. There are people who are very clear. I'm not making this stuff. It ain't no conspiracy because it's out there as blatant as it can be. There is an agenda to try and sway the governing authorities of this nation to dismantle the family, dismantle the foundation of this government. It's out there. It's clear. And all you have to do is just a slight amount of homework. Just a little bit. They don't hide it anymore. It's so clear. And why would they want to dismantle the foundation of this country? Because the foundation of this country is built on this. And if they can take it off of that foundation, then they get to claim the foundation that it's built on. But child of God, I pray that you would not be some kind of a passive, panty-waist Christian, but that you would be active. There's no place for passivity in the kingdom of heaven. To just sit back in neutral and just say, it's going to happen. Whatever happens, happens. That's the most stupid statement. I'm not sugarcoating anything today, am I? It's just stupid. That passive nature is what's wrong with our country today because churches have become passive and they thought that they were going to just sit within the four walls of their church and to just trying to defend this thing. The church was never meant to be on the defense. The church was always meant to be active and spreading the kingdom of heaven, spreading the love of God. It goes on to say, chapter 19, I think I started to read it and I got distracted. Verse 2. Chapter 19, verse 2. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again, they said, Hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne saying, Amen, Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude and the sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thundering saying, Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Do you know who those voices are? Those are our voices. Amen? Those who have made it through the judgment because we have made him our God. Those are our voices that sound like floodwaters. Verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. You know who the wife of the Lamb is? The church. The church, the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. I believe that right now there's a purification of the church, and there are some churches, there are some pastors, some whole denominations that are under the delusional spirit of what we're looking at right here. And as that's happening, it's becoming very, very clear who holds to the truth and who does not. But he's getting his church ready. He's getting the bride ready. Then he said to me, verse 9, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I pray that you are called to that supper. There's only one way you will be. Make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, since you do not do that, I'm your fellow servant. Now, your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. As you're looking at this prophecy, what are you seeing? Is a very clear line. There are those who will follow Jesus, and there are those who will go along with the delusions of the deceptive spirits of this world. I hope you're with Jesus. By the way, I'm going to wrap this thing up with this. What do we do, preacher? It seems like we've reached the point of, is there any hope? Well, there is hope. As long as the church in America is alive and well, there's hope. Unfortunately, we're in worse condition because the church, the people of God, has not been salt and light like we're supposed to be. But what do we do today? Number one, use your voice. Here's what Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in the midst of Nazi Germany had come against Hitler, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. You cannot sit silent and not be held accountable. God will hold you accountable for your silence. So use your voice. Consistent, courageous conversations. That's what we need. Consistent, courageous conversations. In this delusional world, that's what do they want to do? Silence you. There's a cancel culture. They want to silence, they don't want you to talk. So they'll shout you down. And yeah, don't be surprised when this is not a popular. I really doubt, you know, some people will say, you never know when one of your sermons is going to go viral. Well, it won't be this one. I can promise you that. Don't be surprised when you're not popular because you hold to the truth of God's word. But consistent, courageous conversations are necessary. And here, child of God, if you hadn't heard anything from me in the previous sermons, if you're intentionally obnoxious, please don't call yourself a child of God. You're not properly representing Jesus. You should be the most gracious, loving, but also the most knowledgeable person in that conversation. So number one, it's just two simple things. Use your voice, and two, use your vote. Early voting starts tomorrow. I'm going to read you what George Barna, the most trusted pollster, says. He has polled so many people, thousands of people, and this is what is the conclusion. Only 51% of people of faith are likely to vote in the 2024 election. 51%. That means almost half of all people of faith are unlikely to vote in the 2024 election. Barna found that 32 million Christians who regularly attend church are unlikely to vote in November. During the 2020 presidential election, the margin of victory in the 9 swing states was roughly 600,000 votes. 32 million Christians should vote, but the swing was 600,000, just over half a million. Barna projects that 5 million additional Christians would likely vote if their pastor encouraged them to do so. I'm encouraging you to do so. Early voting starts tomorrow. Vote your values. Vote biblical standards. It's no longer left and right. It's up and down. The party line used to be on socioeconomic differences. All my people were Democrats because they were working folks. They were poor folks, and they felt that the Democratic Party was the party of the working man. I remember Ronald Reagan said, the Democratic Party didn't leave me, I left them. You may be sitting there asking, preacher, can you say that from the pulpit? I am saying it from the pulpit. When now it is not on a socioeconomic line, it is on moral lines. It is on biblical standards. And you are not voting for a person this year. You are voting for a platform this year. And you can look at party platforms and recognize very simply and clearly, it's about morality. It's about biblical standards. That's what it's about. What is going on in which this spirit is operating even in this great country is that the devil wants to undermine and dismantle the image of God. Remember, man was made in the image of God, man and woman, made in the image of God. And Satan hates that. And he's trying to dismantle that. He's trying to dismantle the sanctity of life, which God creates. Get out there and vote. If you don't vote, I'd be embarrassed to call you one of our church members. We can blow it. Let me tell you this. There's only one person in the scriptures. I'm already over time, but that's all right. One person in the scriptures it was King Hezekiah, and Hezekiah was sick and he was dying. And as he called out to the Lord for mercy, the Lord said, I'll give you mercy. I'll give you a few more years. He said, but I want to tell you something, Hezekiah, you're gonna die in a few years. And when you die, Babylon's taken over. This nation is falling, it's crumbling. And here's the sixth statement that Hezekiah was a good king. He was good in so many ways, but he tripped over the finish line. And he said, well, that's okay. At least there'll be peace in my lifetime. Somebody ought to monkey stomp that man. What is he saying? Well, as long as I can die in peace, who cares about my kids? Who cares about my grandkids? You know what happened to his kids, his grandkids? They got taken off into captivity. One had his sons murdered in front of him while he watched them, and then they plucked his eyes out, so that was the last thing he saw. That's what happened to those after him, because he said, well, as long as I die in peace, if you take on the mentality of I ain't voting because what's going to happen is going to happen, then you don't understand the truth of God's word. It's when God's people act, when God's people move, that's when things change. God don't work amongst humanity without a human agent. And you've been called to be that. Been called to use your voice and use your vote, and don't take on the stupid mentality of Hezekiah. Well, you know, I'll be out of here before everything goes to hell in a handbasket. No, you won't. Not at the rate that it's going. God's people must stand, because in the end, we'll be the only one standing. Will you be numbered among us? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I thank you for the truth of your word. Let us hold to it. Stand for it. Speak for it. I know, Lord, my tone today is not one I try to preach from often. But it is one of urgency and seriousness. The fact of the matter is, when we talk about love, those who are God's people are the ones who really love. And because you, God so loved the world, because you so loved humanity, that you sent us a Savior, Jesus, you've proven that you love humanity. And what's going on in this world, the crazy, the delusional stuff, that ain't love. Because its end is destruction. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I've come, Jesus said, that you may have life and have it to the fullest. I love living life to the fullest. Thank you, God, for the full life of following you. There are some out there that just don't know, and they don't understand, and they don't get it, and they're truly seeking and they're truly searching, but the fact of the matter is there's no one in their life that is sharing with them truth, sharing with them the grace of God, salvation through Jesus Christ. So therefore they continue to go around wandering and groping for reality and truth, and thinking that, well, if I change my appearance, that it's going to match my wandering soul. No, it won't. Because then your soul's going to wander somewhere else, because Satan's a cruel taskmaster. But our God is perfect, and he made every person the way he intended for them to be made. And it's a cruel world that comes along and says, you're a mistake. You're a mistake. It's the truth of God's word to say, no, you're made in the image of God. And he loves you more than you love yourself. And his ways bring life. His ways bring joy. His ways bring fulfillment. His ways bring true satisfaction. Lord, help us as Christians, those who know this truth, to begin voicing that truth to those who are seeking truth, seeking satisfaction, seeking happiness, seeking joy, seeking fulfillment. We know the answer, and it's you, God. It's you, God. Stir in us a heart of passion that we would no longer be passive.